everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 173. This is the 173rd edition here at the Caffeination. This is going to be the You Never Know edition. Hopefully you'll understand why in just a little bit. We have a great show lined up for you today. I am Paul. I'm going to be your host for this and every other episode here at the Caffeination. On today's show, you are going to find any and all of the following: Optimus Prime, beer, pumpkins, and the women that love them. We have a great lineup of tech tidbits. We have a little bit of caffeinated bits for you. Actually, it's more caffeinated, beer-fueled fun today. Kind of a general reimagining of the way that we're going to work the show here. Hopefully you're going to enjoy exactly how we're going to do this. First of all, we'd just like to thank all of our new and returning listeners. In case you don't know where you're listening to this, then this show is recorded live and thrown up over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com, which makes perfect sense being that this is the Caffeination Podcast. And we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, which basically means that all the other shows over there at techpodcasts.com have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content that you can go over there and peruse. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site, and we are also a proud Puzzle Piece Productions company as well. So if you want more information on any of that stuff, you can head on over to caffeination.com and click on one of the affiliations link up at the top on the right-hand side. If you want to email us, it's caffeination@gmail.com, and call us. It's 215-240-1319, and a direct to voicemail line there. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. It's been a crazy little week here. We have absolute meetings out the rear end in work. I was just checking it out. My schedule on Friday starts 9, and it starts like at 9, so I usually get in at like 7:30, and I'm looking forward to this, and the little Palm Pilot, fired up, checking it out. It's like, oh, only one meeting on Friday, not a problem. Then all of a sudden I realized I had 4 emails on my little to-do list that I had to actually note the meetings that I had agreed to attend and present. That sort of went 9 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2:30, and then there's might be some other stuff in there as well. So Friday's booked, Wednesday was busy, Thursday's going to be the day of the day of rest and all the other stuff that has to get accomplished here at the office. But or there at the office, not here, because this is not at the office. This is at home. This is in the Caffeination lair. This, of course, being the 17th of October, 2007. You are here for the episode entitled You Never Know. And I started out thinking about this because we had a listener write in, a listener / contributor write in, and you're going to really love the content that he found for you. But first off, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Now, we try and not inundate you with too many ads and everything. I've actually received some negative feedback for the amount of ads that were clogging up the Caffeination homepage over there. So please, if anything irritates you or something like that, please feel free to let us know. Our one and only sponsor here at the Caffeination for right now is the wonderful folks over at GoToMeeting. So if you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone will log on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. It's really nifty. You just got to give this a shot. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged one of those per-minute fees like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office, and you really can't put a price on that. You not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. Check it out for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. And we're going to delve right on into the tech tidbit section here today. We're moving it around. If people don't mind the PodSafe music, please let me know. If you think it detracts from the overall value of the show we got going here, please let me know that as well. It's on temporary hiatus until I actually get a little bit more time under my belt. It's been crazy around here. We have a lot of stuff going on, and frankly, I didn't want to just put any song up there. I wanted to have only the best in PodSafe music. So we're gonna be culling those fields. We're going to be looking through for only the ripest of pumpkins to hand to you. Hey, if you have an artist that you know is PodSafe or you know you think might be approachable, please feel free to let me know, caffeination@gmail.com. All right, now we're going to skip just the first section here, and we're going to go right on to the second one, or right on to the second story, just because I have to. I mean, I have to play this for you. I got a phone call yesterday from our man on the street, Brady. You might remember Brady from a couple episodes back, actually a little while ago. He used to submit crazy content. Every once in a while, he would find absolutely the most off-the-wall and awesome content that you can imagine. And every once in a while, when he does rear his head, it is awesome. So I got this little phone call and I was like, oh man, it says, Brady, I have a meeting in like, you know, 10-15 minutes. I don't want to ever boot a friend off the phone. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody's ever experienced that where, you know, you'll get a phone call in work or somewhere else and you see who it is and you're like, man, this person deserves a little bit more of my time than I'm afraid I might be able to give them at this point in time. So with no small amount of trepidation, I actually pick up the phone and this is what I heard.
Paul. This is Optimus Prime. Take a break from blogging and listen to me. I am contacting you from the battlefront, alongside your amigo. Autobot scouts have detected Decepticon forces moving into Pennsylvania. You must warn everyone you know, but be cautious with your so-called spouse, Jennifer. We believe she may have joined forces with Megatron, and now goes by the Transformer name, Blackout. Time is short. You must prepare for battle. Begin by obtaining the Transformers DVD, available now. In the meantime, if you know somebody who may want to join our forces, I will speak to them personally. Just go to TransformersMovie.com. Autobots, transform and roll out!
How awesome is that? So again, you go to TransformersMovie, all one word, .com, and you can send either via email or via a wonderful little phone message. You can send that kind of craziness to the people that you know and love in your life. I've been playing around with it a little bit. I'm more along the lines of I like to record it online, don't want to really interrupt anybody with it. And I actually sent it to one of my buddies as kind of like the background in a flash file. And he's opening it up and it's like this picture of a goofy kitten or something. Optimus Prime starts playing. I got royally told about that one, but it was kind of fun. Man, if you have some time, head on over there, check it out, play around with it a little bit. You'd be amazed at the realm of fun that you can have. Some of the guys at work, I actually sent it to their phones with people that we've been having some small issues with recently, and it just... The different Decepticon names you can pick out, you can determine your own fun little Decepticon names. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I just had to put that out there, had to put that first because, I mean, it's one of those things where it's unbelievably cool, and I was literally laughing right up until I had to try and get it together, try and maintain for the meeting that I was supposed to be heading into. All right, well, first up here on the Tech Tidbits, the true Tech Tidbits section, word on the street is an NMP field. Now, you might not know what an NMP field is, but you might have experience with one. Now, I forget which exact science fiction... thing this is from, but NMP field is a not my problem field, and what it ends up being is that you end up entering into a zone where somebody really just doesn't care about the big picture. If it doesn't directly affect their little job description, I mean, we're even talking about beyond that little area where it says other duties and as described or something like that, or however it says it on your little job description. We're talking about the people who says, you know what, that's really not my problem. That's really not something that directly affects me as a human, directly affects me as a partaker of this company's services, so I'm just not going to deal with it. You encounter that every once in a while. It's also known as apathy. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. I heard that term a couple weeks ago. I think it might be a direct reference from or reference to Douglas Adams's improbability field. So use it as you see fit. All right, now the next thing we have up here is actually a little bit of good news out of the United States government. The U.S. House actually votes to renew the ban on internet tax. Now, I don't know about you, but this is basically the idea of creating a sales tax for things bought on the internet. That sounds like just the kind of smarmy, nasty, no good thing that the government would attempt to give pass through, you know. So it turns out that it's not a permanent ban, which is something they were actually looking at, and it's not yet written into law. It still has to pass the Senate. But a vast majority of the House, some 238 out of 350, I believe. So at least two-thirds of the House has actually, you know, created or signed and said they would sponsor it and everything else. So it voted, passed, and went through. It's a 4-year ban on taxing, doing sales tax through the internet, which is a boon to some companies like Amazon and a whole bunch of the other ones out there. I mean, you basically know if you buy something online, you don't want sales tax to be attached to it. I mean, I don't even know how they would do that, but still. Good news. Hopefully it'll pass the Senate. Hopefully they'll eventually do one of the complete moratoriums on it, basically because I don't want to feel like spending any more money, you know what I mean? Don't really need to be paying tax on my eBay purchase, if you know what I'm saying. All right, another little bit of web news. The official people who say what you can and can't call your website have gone and outdone themselves. They're attempting to, they have a couple websites set up that are test websites that are domains in now 12 different languages. And the reason that this is so interesting and so important is that up until recently, ICANN, the international organization which controls any and all things web, has basically said that if it does not use a Roman character, you cannot have it in the name of a domain. So, you know, even the North Korean domain names were not characters or anything like that. No, they were all English charactered derivations of their words, .com, which doesn't really mean anything in very many other languages other than the native English that we speak here at the Cavination headquarters. But it's kind of an interesting idea, especially considering you wouldn't really think that it would be that high on the ICANN's list of things to do, because they're kind of based here. They kind of report to the U.S. Department of Commerce for some strange reason. So it's kind of interesting. This goes back to the United States retaining control of the internet and one of the backbone and all the other registrars and everything that are attached to it. I think this is one of the concessions that they decided to try and push forward to say, look, we're really not that bad of a group to be managing your business online. So, you know, why don't you just give us another chance? Why don't you just give us a little bit of an extension, as long as everything stays well within the bureaucracy that is the United States government? So they've opened it up. There's 12 test languages that they're currently using. They're going to be used in Asian characters, Arabic characters, Cyrillic alphabet. So kind of interesting. Hopefully, if we have any of the listeners out there that are fluent in any of the languages that use one of those scripts, please feel free to tell me if you find one of those fun little websites that you think we would enjoy. Please just forward it right along to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, now the next little thing we have here is a kind of a slight derivation from where we were heading. It says, this would wake me up, and that me and the dearly departed for the next 2 miles, but I have an issue when it comes to waking up, and my wife and I were discussing this at length today. I'm one of those people who I can sleep through the baby crying, I can sleep through tornadoes, I can sleep through damn near anything that happens here at the house, but and the other fun thing is if my wife manages to wake me up to go take care of the kid, I'll do so, come back to bed, and as long as I haven't been up for too long, I can pretty much go back to bed and fall asleep dead out for, you know, probably about 3 to 5 minutes. She, on the other hand, has massive trouble doing this. So there's a fun little whip, fun little alarm clock. Oh, yeah, by the way, I sleep through our alarm clock because she refuses to allow me to put it on the nasty loud buzzer. I actually have an alarm clock, I think I've said this before, from my grandfather. This thing has the loudest, most obnoxious buzzer on it that you would ever imagine. And my wife is convinced that it would give her a heart attack if I actually allow it to go off. So she wakes up to the music, comes around, and slaps me around to wake me up. So, hey, I've come to accept that is just the happens to be the way it is. is. But here's a fun little thing if I ever end up, on my own with the waking up of stuff. It's called the Sonic Bomb Alarm. Yes, this thing has two components to it. First, nice little rounded alarm clock. And the funny thing is, I don't really think if you're walking around with something called the Sonic Bomb, do you really need a snooze button? Do you really want to be assaulted audibly that way twice? But what they got here is it also has a rumble pack, which you can actually put under your bed that will vibrate your freaking bed to hopefully shake you out of whatever doldrums you happen to be in. Now, this thing goes off at a astoundingly deafening maximum volume of 113 decibels. To kind of put it in a little bit of a perspective for you, a power saw, yeah, we're talking like a circular saw going through wood. If you measured the sound that was right next to it, that's around 113. A heavy metal concert, if you were in the mosh pit, is like 113 decibels. Jets landing on the highway, that's the kind of loudness we're talking about here. They're saying this thing can like cut through walls with the sheer shrillness that is the noise that it can produce. So it's kind of fun to actually check it out. There's actually a lesser version of this called the Sonic Boom Alarm, which is a different, I think it's from the same company, but it actually can, alright, it says it's just extra loud. There's no decibel rating on this, but that's just kind of cool. But, you know, just one of those fun things I found out there. I said, you know what, I bet there's somebody out there who has a similar issue to what I got going. And I don't know if they make the radios that my grandfather gave me anymore, so you might want to consider this Sonic Boom Alarm. First of all, if you hate your neighbors, this would be one hell of an alarm to leave going off while you were on your way to work. Did you ever do that? I did that a couple times when I was in high school and college. You hit the snooze and you manage to make it out of the house before it happens to go off again, and then the damn thing goes off the entire day. Could you imagine 113 decibels screaming out your window for the entire day, and how much your neighbors would want to assassinate you on the way home? It's like, hey, Bob, thanks for the alarm all day. And I actually live right next to two people who both work the night shift, so I'm pretty sure that would earn me a quick trip to the ER when I finally got home. Either that or my door would be busted down, you know? All right, moving right along here. Not everyone has the mutant healing factor, so everybody's always trying to find ways to heal you quicker. Try and get you up and on your feet just that much sooner. So there's a new kind of idea out there called HealFast. It's an electronic bandage concept that actually kills wounds dead. The concept behind it is basically that your body uses up energy trying to cut through the swath of infection and other kinds of issues heading towards the wound to clean it. So this creates some kind of electrical field, a very low voltage electrical field to actually kill any bacteria and stuff that's living in and around any wounds you might have. I don't know how it works, but you can use it with one hand. You can apply it with one hand, so you'd be able to like put it on the back of one of your arms. I don't know if you've ever actually tried to do that, but you seriously need to be a contortionist to actually do that. It was originally created with people like diabetics in mind and stuff like that. People with not necessarily an immune compromised system, but people who have harder times trying to heal and everything. So it's a great idea, and I love these tiny little things that you wouldn't actually think of. It's like they're not building a better Band-Aid per se. They're building a system that surrounds the Band-Aid that allows the Band-Aid to do its job that much quicker. So that's pretty cool. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is kind of like a little story that we want to show to everybody. It's called the Finger Cam. It's actually a webcam that's small enough to fit on the tip of your finger, which is the tiny little wire going back down. The potential for abuse, the PFA rating on this one, at least by my count, is an absolute 10 out of 10. You're talking, this camera can, it can transmit up to 600 feet away. So the camera comes with a camera, receiver, battery power adapter, RCA cable adapter, and more. So basically, you can tuck this little sucker into the tiniest of areas for only $95. This thing can be your all-in-one nasty cam. I'm looking at this going, man, is this something you really think that would be a great idea to put out in the public? Because, I mean, how long before we see a Fox News expose on the people are misusing these tiny cameras, and it's probably video games to blame. All right, but moving right along, kind of a little one-off thing that I actually found. We are all over the place with tech tidbits. I tried to cull through the stuff today to find you only the best and brightest, the funniest things that I saw online. So right up here, we have another little fun one-off from mopo.ca, master of the painfully obvious. It's a, I'm pretty sure I've actually seen one of these before, but it's a map of the United States, the continental United States, done in license plates. Now, okay. So why is that special, done in license plates? What do you mean? Well, what I mean is the old license plates from every state in the Union, as it were, is actually cut to the shape of the state, fit together into a giant continental United States map, and then posted on a fun brick wall. There's actually a nice bigger picture of it, so if you think it's really cool, you want to put it as your desktop, whatever. The craftsmanship, if you actually really go down into it, it's pretty hard to cut metal, especially the kind of metal that the freaking license plates are made of. And they really have a lot of the contours and everything else like that cut out of it. So it's pretty cool. I mean, you might not be able to distinguish Maine or distinguish Rhode Island from New Hampshire because they're both kind of greenish in the picture, or New York from Pennsylvania. You can always tell the Jersey and all that other stuff, and it depends on how closely you look. You can find out how many different license plates they had to use to make each state. But still, it was a really good idea, and I wonder if you can actually buy it somewhere. I just thought it was kind of fun, so I thought I'd pass it along. All right, and then the... Alright, and the second to last little thing we have here is a Toyota concept car that I actually think is a really crazy idea. This is a concept car slash motorcycle that runs off of pollution. Yeah, no idea. It says, unlike the cars of today, the Toyota 2057 will run off pollution rather than emit it. The Biomobile extracts pollution from the air to energize as an energy source. So there's no real idea on how it does it. This is kind of pie in the sky, completely, you know, off the wall kind of thing. It'd be kind of interesting if somebody could kind of, you know, take that and turn it around just a little bit and see if there's something they could do now. Like, for instance, a base unit that collected all the free-floating carbon from the air or something like that and turned it into, like, some kind of crazy biofuel rods or stuff like that. Now, the fun little thing that you want to think about for this is what exactly does this thing emit as it consumes the pollution? So, I mean... I mean, it's fun to think, well, all right, so, okay, it consumes pollution, it does all that fun, happy stuff. What exactly is it throwing out its rear end? Is it going to do a little toxic waste? Is it going to do radioactive, little bio waste? I mean, or is it just going to be clean, one fun, drinkable, potable water? So, all right, There was also a little article there about heat-sensitive spoons, but, I mean, seriously, come on, my kid has those. They're like, seriously, like, $3 for a pack of five of them. So, I mean, if you really want to check that out, you could probably check out Trend Hunter. They're all over there. The last little section we had here in the tech tidbits is the Missia is the perfect no-touch faucet for germaphobes. I'm sure everybody's going into the restrooms, public restrooms or whatever, and you've seen the faucet where all you have to do is stick your hand under, and it gives you the fun little stream of water. Usually tried to be temperature controlled to a certain extent. Now this is an all new concept. This is an all in one. So basically, you can up and down the temperature of the water coming out just by gesturing on one specific quadrant of the air next to the faucet. So you can also get soap and disinfectant, and then you can turn on the water. And I'm pretty sure there's all kinds of auto offs and everything out like that. Now, the German company that invented this hasn't made it available to the public yet. They have all kinds of crazy things, and they actually make the holy duo, as I like to call it. Because most of the restrooms that I've ever been in either have the fabulous little wireless hand towel things where you wipe your hand under the sensor and it actually gives you a... The towel automatically dispensed, or they have the automatic faucets. It's very rare to have both. Or I mean, God, if you really want to go to the Trinity, to actually have the toilets or urinals that flush themselves. I mean, so that way you don't have to touch absolutely anything other than, you know, what you got to in the bathroom. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And but I've only ever seen that in one restaurant. And for the life of me, I can't remember where it is. Because, I mean, I don't know why it would be that hard. It's like, okay, you know what we're going to do here today, John? We're going to put in in a faucet that you don't have to touch. But you're still going to have to grab the towels out of that, or you're going to have to go over there and hit the button on that hand air dryer, or the air hand dryer that you have to sit there and rub for 45 minutes using electricity, like, to beat the band. No. We're just going to do one hands-free device. I want the entire hands-free bathroom, where you go in, and the only business you have to take care of is your business. Everything else is hands-free. That's what I look forward to. I've only ever seen one restroom, where it's like that. However, the fun thing about this is you can also do it with the soap. And that's something that I really never thought about before. Automatic soap dispenser, automatic disinfectant, although I thought soap was disinfectant to a certain degree. Water, and you can up and down the temperature. Again, this is another one of those things where it's just pure waste. I mean, do you ever sit there, you're sitting in your home, and you go to the sink, you turn it on. Water's a little too cold, so you let it run. Water's a little too hot, so you let it run. You should be able to set the temperature of the water that you prefer and allow the faucet to do the rest. I mean, come on. We live in the 2007, for God's sake. All right, that about wraps up the tech tidbits here at the Caffeination Podcast. We do have a fantastic little Caffeinated Bits section. This is Caffeinated Bits, food, bikes, beer, anything that I could find that is consumable is going here. Now, the first thing is not really consumable, but probably. It's called Eat Food with Food, Spudware. Yes, this is Eco Potato Cutlery. Basically, they take a plastic derived from potato, which is completely and utterly biodegradable. They call it spudware. So it's made from 80% potato starch and starch and 20% soy oil. And it's heat resistant, microwave resistant, the whole nine yards. The fun thing is it biodegrades in 180 days. The only problem with it is that it does not biodegrade in a normal landfill. You actually have to send it someplace to be treated. They have water bottles that do this. They have all kinds of crazy stuff. So this is the revolution, and it is coming. So you just gotta be slightly patient for it to come around here. But first of all, I absolutely love the name Spudware, and it looks it's not edible, which is what they said. So you could physically eat this. This will not cause any damage to your body, other than the fact that it's hard and it's meant to be microwaved, so it's probably not physically a fun thing to try and chew on. But, you know, every little bit helps with the environment, every little bit helps. So, I mean, this is a whole new take on, when I was in grade school, we had a fun little competition for create a machine to eat spaghetti, a non-traditional machine. One kid made an entire utensil set out of carrots. Unfortunately, his project kind of rotted in the first 3 days, but he got the point across, and it was kind of fun. I made a fun little fork spinner, so there was a little crank attached to the back of the fork and everything like that. I still have it at my parents' house, I think. I'm going to have to pull that out sometime. Alright, next up we have the wine glass you can really put your face down into. This is if you have a nose for wine, this is, you know that, sorry, jumping around a little bit, but if you have a nose for wine, you know that most of the, or a decent amount of the flavor in consuming wine, a decent amount of the enjoyment deals with taking in the bouquet, deals with taking in the overall aroma that wafts off the surface of the wine after you have already volatilized the aromatic esters. Yes, I know some terminology. Not really sure exactly what all of it means, but I sound damn cool saying it. All right, but this is called the silhouette. Now imagine your standard wine glass with a notch cut out of it for your nose, so that as you tilt it back and put your finest vintage of Mad Dog 2020 in there, after you swirl it around ever so slightly, holding it by the stem, of course, because you don't want to actually warm the body of wine as it sits there. You can get a little, your face just a little bit further in there. You get a nice bouquet of the wonderful flavors and aromas that are coming up. So it's kind of cool. The only problem is that one glass apparently costs $54. I don't know about you, but I'm perfectly fine dealing with the old style wine glasses that are perfectly intact. Now, the only thing I actually see happening with this is if you don't really pay attention, you're at a party, you turn it the wrong way, you go to take a nice deep breath there, and all of a sudden, wine dribble glass, and you're dribbling very expensive wine down your down the front of you. Because, I mean, seriously, if you have enough dough on hand for a $54 wine glass, you probably are going to be drinking some nice stuff. So you might be going for, the Asti Spumante. No, just kidding. You might be going for some serious vintage there. That's probably not the dribble glass variety of vintage that you're going to be trying out. All right, staying in the whole alcoholic endeavor, have you ever thought about making beer in a pumpkin? No, I didn't either up until I saw this. This is linked from over at Hackaday.com. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is a photo essay from over at Flickr. You really have to check this out. This guy is absolutely off his gourd, pun unbelievably intended. This guy took two giant pumpkins, one very much bigger than the other, and he apparently is already an accomplished brewmaster. There's no word on the taste of his fun little fare here, but he takes you step by step on how he went about creating a fermentation in a pumpkin. So, I mean, from the whole thing, you know, with the mash going in, the barley, the hops, the whole nine yards, and explanations about all the different processes that go in each one, and he actually tried to ferment the final batch in a separate pumpkin. So unfortunately, the lid fell in. You can read the whole thing over there. It's really cool to see. I don't know how much the first pumpkin weighed, which is actually kind of something that I'd be interested in, because we have two massive pumpkins upstairs and I'm looking for something to do with them, you know? Alright, yeah, it actually looks gigantic. I mean, he has it in the back of what appears to be a minivan. Probably looks around 2 feet tall, probably around a foot and a half in diameter. So, I mean, just if you really want to check that out, just kind of crazy, kind of cool. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is directly linked from over at Hackaday. I was like all ecstatic about this. It said this is the first and only home brewing brewery. So it's the ultimate all-in-one beer brewing machine, done by a gentleman who happens to live in Philadelphia. Awesome. And congratulations, John. I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind invention. Nobody else has actually put all of this into one device. I mean, we're seriously talking soup to nuts beer creation. We're talking from the beginning where you're boiling the water all through the different steps, all through the cooling, the heating, the fermentation, the adding of hops, out into the chilled spout for the tap at the very end of the situation. There's a 5,500 or 55,000, whichever one makes more sense. BTU burner under the main boiler in there. So this thing is a serious machine. And it just so happens that one of the guys I know in work knows this guy and has actually checked it out. So all the best to John. I mean, you really have to head on over there. This is actually linked up from over at Popular Science as well. This machine is just unbelievable. I mean, this is seriously soup to nuts beer creation. I hope that somebody is offering this guy a absolute ton of cash. Please, man, do not sell this machine outright. Sell the rights to it. Have people bid this thing out. You have the opportunity of a lifetime to create a all-in-one brewing station, mass produce this sucker, keep the original one in your house, you know, just license it out to the people, let them figure out all the other problems. Do not sell it off the top of your head, you know. This took him 3 months to do. Cost him $4,315. And it apparently tastes pretty good. I mean, from what I've heard, you know, beer that you create yourself is probably a lot better than beer that you buy off the shelf. So that's just really cool. Just wanted to kind of put it out there, kind of congratulate a fellow Philly boy done good. So that John B. Carnett is the creator of this. Obviously an astounding inventor there. From over at PopSci.com, Popular Science Magazine. And then, of course, we had to finish up with two other little beer-related computer things. The kegerators are so last year that, you know, basically throwing a little beer keg inside of a refrigerator. What we're talking about here is two insane case modifications that allow you to put a tap on the front of your PC and your Mac. So we are dual platforming it here. These aren't dual boot or anything like that. This is the other side of the caffeine machine. No word on what exactly it's called, but it says if a beer dispensing case mod is not the most incredible and delicious hack known to man, then I don't know what is. Hear, hear. this is kind of crazy. Apparently there's all kinds of cooling stuff in the PC, and the only problem that I have with the Mac installation of this is that the beer server is running on a G3. We need to get a G5 up in this piece. Apparently both computers still function, which is something that I actually require for a really awesome case mod. I mean, otherwise you could seriously gut any kind of box you got laying around and put all kinds of crazy cool stuff in there. But if the computer still runs, if you can still do stuff with it, then it makes it that much better. Wonder how they kind of insulate the whole heat from the computer versus the beer needing to stay cold thing going on there. But still, All right, this has been the Caffeination Podcast. We basically just plumb run out of news that I think is fit for you to hear. Like I said, we're trying to experiment a little bit with the format here. Not too much. We're working on the site over there little by little. We are looking for massive feedback. So anything you can tell us that you like or dislike about the show, please feel free to forward it over to caffeination@gmail.com. Just doing the general rundown here at the end of the show. This has been the Caffeination Podcast, episode 173. You never know what you're going to find on the internet. And you listen to all kinds of crazy stuff today. If you want to get into touch with us, like I said, caffeination@gmail.com. Skype ID is TheCaffeination, and Grand Central phone number is 215-240-1319. We have a full contact list over at the Caffeination website, which is www.caffeination.com. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Also proudly listed over at blueberry.com, BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, myspace.com/caffeination. Pretty much most of the social networking stuff /caffeination will find you our site. And this has been a Puzzle Piece production. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.